I told you, waiting for you. And I only put my feet in. Doesn't matter, it's dangerous. Water tricks you. It looks calm and inviting, but it can kill you fast. She didn't respond. If I'd scared her, good. Nothing bad ever came of respecting the elements. The final few yards of the road were bad enough to knock a pack of cigarettes out of Vern's visor. Lake picked them up. How come you never smoke in front of me? They're not mine. I pulled onto a main road, and the ride got about as smooth as it was going to get in this soon-to-be junkyard scrap metal. I relaxed back into my seat. We talked about this. Secondhand smoke's bad for you. And not for you? Lake shouldn't be in the truck. I shouldn't have been noticing or still thinking about those soft-looking hairs on her leg. I should have sent her back. I didn't even want alcohol, but somehow I'd ended up in a situation. I would have killed for a cigarette right then. Give me those. She handed over the pack, and I stuffed it between the seats. I thought about what you said the other night. I'll quit. It's just going to take some time.
I can help, she said.
How?
I don't know. There must be some way.
It's not like AA where you get a sponsor. I took the on-ramp to the highway. It was dead, not many cars around, just lots of black pavement flanked by shadowed trees. The sliver of a moon waxed from new to full.
I could check in on you.
Her voice barely carried over the grumble of the engine.
Or you could call me when you get the urge.
Seemed about right, replacing one impulse with another, Lake instead of nicotine. Only I didn't think that was how she meant it. I glanced over in the dark.
What's going on? What's going to happen after camp?
I don't know. Guess I finish the job by your house, then I find more work until I graduate. You go back to school.
What about Tiffany?
The way I saw it, I had two options. Stop seeing Tiffany and end my time with the Kaplans or keep both girls in my life. I don't know, Lake, but like I told you before, that's between me and your sister.
Where do you live?
Lake.
You said you'd get me books about what to major in.
I will.
But when? I start school in a week. Next thing you know, it'll be time to fill out applications. I'll have homework, and my dad's making me take a college class. I won't have time for anything else.
I slid my hand down the wheel. You freaking out a little?
No, but maybe I don't want to do all this anymore. I don't understand why everyone else gets to decide for me.
I only realized then, from the panic in her voice, what she was after, pestering me about the cigarettes, Tiffany, the future. She didn't know if we'd see each other after this. I didn't know either. Maybe I wouldn't if I didn't keep things up with Tiff. The truth was I had little control over the situation, and Lake had even less. I'll get you your books, I promised.
Forget the books. I don't care about them.
You should, I said more harshly than I meant. If you don't know your options, how are you going to know what to major in? Truth was, her dad wasn't a big man, but he scared me. He had power over Lake. I had wondered more than once if she'd even ever considered a school aside from USC. This was too big a decision to let her dad make for her. How are you going to stand up to your dad if he tries to force you into something you don't want to do?
What if I don't want to go to school at all?
I gripped the steering wheel, frustrated, even though I knew she didn't mean it. Neither of us had any control over the situation, and she was looking for something to hold on to. That's not what I meant. You know it isn't.
It was all just laid out for me before I was even born.
Then ask yourself what you really want, but don't say it isn't college. It is. The question is where you want to go and what you want to do when you get there.
What do you mean, where?
She asked quietly. Doesn't have to be USC, Lake. Doesn't have to be what anyone else says. She bit her thumbnail and sat quietly a while, obviously thinking. I hoped she was beginning to see she had options. She wasn't going to figure it out tonight, but it was a start. We entered town suddenly, a building or two at first, and then we were on the main boulevard passing fast food joints, log cabin inns, and souvenir shops. I live in Long Beach, I said, hoping it might calm her down a bit. I've got a roommate and a kitchen that barely fits two people.
I didn't know that,
she said.
That's far.
From where? You? About a 40-minute drive.
Oh.
The vinyl squawked as she adjusted her foot.
Are you happy there?
I couldn't remember feeling much more than complacency since Maddie's death. Lake was the only thing recently that hadn't been some kind of job or obligation. I guess I'm not really one thing or another. The first liquor store I passed was dark, so I pulled into a bar called Phil's a few stoplights down. It took me a minute to decide where to park. There were people out front, and I didn't want anyone to see Lake in the car. I chose a space off to the side, farthest from the building.
Why are we here?
Blake asked. Picking up booze. A flyer on the window advertised line dancing. Three women stood by the door smoking, and my mouth watered for a cigarette. I'll only be a minute. You can't come in, so just lock the doors and wait, all right? Don't get out for any reason.
What do you think will happen in a minute?
I guess she didn't know yet that 1 minute could change your life. That if I'd left baseball practice 1 minute earlier, things might have been different for Maddie. Blake was intuitive, but too trusting. She hadn't hesitated to have me come into her parents' house that day, even though I was 3 times her size and carried tools that could kill a grown man with one swing. She should have someone looking out for her. I wanted to be that someone. I got out of the car, slammed the door shut, and waited for the thunk of the locks. The girls were average-looking. Jeans, cowboy boots, tank tops spotted with sweat, hair stuck to their foreheads.
"Hey there," one of them said. "Looking for a dance partner?"
I went into Phil's and took out the 20s. "Can I buy some beer off you?" I asked the bartender. "How about Jack instead?" "That's fine. Whatever you got for 40 bucks." He nodded and headed into the back.
"Got a cigarette I can bum?"
One of the girls from outside sat on a bar stool next to me. I had a pack in my shirt pocket, but cigarettes cost money and money was finite. I only spent it on what I cared about. "No." She took a swig from her beer. Her ring caught my eye, a big, bulky thing with a silver band that looked oddly familiar. The bulbous, dark stone covered everything below her knuckle. I looked closer. Maybe it was glass and hunter green, not black stone. "What is that?" I asked. She showed me her hand.
"A mood ring?"
"Fuck. Yeah, I remember now." Maddie had one. My mom had bought it in the 70s and handed it down to her. Sometimes when I was broody, Madison would force it on my finger and ask me to make it change colors from dark to light, to make it happy. "What's the green mean?"
"I forget. I feel bored, though, so maybe that."
She looked up.
"Where are you from?"
Words were like money, not worth wasting when it wouldn't get me anywhere. "Not here." If I were at home, if Lake weren't in the truck, maybe things would be different. Girls were a fine distraction. All but Lake. She was crystal clear to me, as was everything around her. Scenery was more beautiful. I felt blood pumping through my veins, things sharpened that had gone dull a while ago, even memories of Maddie. Over time, I'd forgotten some stuff about Maddie without realizing it, and around Lake they were coming back. The way she read like Maddie, or now, this ring I probably would have overlooked. Any memories of Maddie usually came with a blinding kind of pain I'd learned to accept. But seeing that ring again, it didn't make me want to drive off a cliff. It was okay. But did that mean I was forgetting Madison? I couldn't even picture her as clearly anymore. Not as well as I could Lake.
"Where then?"
the woman asked.
"Never seen you here before."
"Can I buy that off you?" I asked. "The ring?" She furrowed her brows, inspecting it.
"It's not worth anything."
I didn't care. It wasn't as if I was going to drive up to my mom's and look for Maddie's, even though it might still be there. "How about I give you the change from the alcohol?" She smiled.
"Phil's not going to give you any change."
She took off the ring and slid it across the bar.
"Take it. I'll get another."
The bartender returned, fisting 2 paper bags. He handed me them by their necks, and I gave him the money. I put the ring in my pocket and thanked the cowgirl. Maybe I owed her a little more time than I gave her, but I had none to waste. I didn't want to be away from the truck another minute. From Lake. Chapter 20. Manning. Lake was exactly as I'd left her, foot up on the seat, eyes following me. The way she sat, the leg of her shorts gaped. I wondered if she'd taken them from Tiffany. I couldn't see anything I shouldn't, but it made me feel like shit that I even looked. I stuck the whiskey in the back and the key in the ignition. Lake turned on the radio. Janet Jackson lasted until the end of the parking lot before I switched the station to rock. "That's the Way Love Goes" was a little too breathy for the situation I was in.
"Can we drive a little?"
Lake asked. "We're gonna. It's another 20 minutes back to camp."
"I mean, just drive, without going anywhere."
There was hardly anyone on the street, but because the lot exited by a stoplight, I had to wait for a break to get across the lane and make a U-turn.
"Please?"
she asked.
"It's my last night of freedom."
"Technically, you're not free," I said. "You're working. And supposed to be asleep." I scratched my chin. I needed a decent shave. I'd started the week doing the best I could with what I had, a dull razor and cold water in a communal bathroom. Eventually, I'd given up shaving every morning. It made me think of Lake's legs. I guess she had hair at all because she never wore anything that short. The fucking red light wouldn't change and a few more cars pulled up. Time was always slow when I needed it to be fast, and vice versa. Lake had only ever been 16 to me. Slow. I couldn't get out of this parking lot. Slow. This rare moment alone with her would end before it began. Fast. What was another few minutes when our time was up anyway? I could tell the counselors I'd had car trouble or something. I didn't care. I gave up trying to cross the lane, reversed, and found another exit to a back road. It turned into a narrow alley, but with a few maneuvers we got to a residential street. Lake didn't make any comment about getting her way. She just used the truck's manual lever to roll down her window and shifted away from me. I turned up the music. Lake looked over.
"This is Pink Floyd."
I raised my eyebrows, impressed. "Thought you didn't know them."
"I do now. I bought some of their CDs from Tower Records," she said. "I like their album covers. Dark Side of the Moon. It's a good name."
Well, that was something. I'd introduced her to one of the greatest bands of all time, to Wish You Were Here, one of the greatest songs of all time, and that could never be bad. We didn't talk for a while. I put down my window, too, to cool down. The neighborhood was dark, not a street lamp on any corner. Every few houses or so had a light on, but that was it. It was a nice place. Fancy two-story homes, bright white garages, custom mailboxes, and neat green lawns. I wondered what it'd be like to live here and be home. I felt a little bad taking this growler around so late, so I slowed down and shut off the headlights. My vision acclimated quickly, and it made it even more peaceful. Lake had her window all the way down now. She stuck her head and part of her torso outside. Her long blonde hair flew around her, and she had to push it out of her face.
"You can see all the stars here, too," she said. "I'm looking for the summer triangle."
I smiled to myself and checked through the windshield. I couldn't see it, or maybe I didn't want to take my eyes off her long enough to find it. Carefree as she looked right now, the outfit and her confidence tonight reminded me that what Tiffany said was true. Lake wasn't a child. She'd be 18 soon. Didn't mean anything for me, really. I'd never be the kind of man she deserved. But it did get my heart pounding a little, thinking of her body the way I thought of her mind. Something belonging to a young adult rather than a teen girl. We drove around that way for a while, miles under the speed limit. I told her we were going slow because I liked driving without the lights on, but the truth was I wanted a few more minutes with her. No sneaking around, no checking over my shoulder. Finally, just her and me, not doing anything wrong. Just being. Eventually, the residential maze spit us out onto a main street, and I had to switch the headlights on again. Lake sat back in her seat, rolled up her window partway, and got the kind of quiet that made me wonder if she was upset. I shifted gears on our way up the hill back to camp and looked over to check on her. Whatever had changed her mood, I suspected there wasn't anything I could really say to comfort her. Lake gasped. I whipped my gaze back to the road as something darted in front of the car. Hitting the brakes, I reached for Lake, keeping her in her seat as I swerved to miss the animal. The truck shuddered, too much bulk to stop so fast, but I steered it off the highway.
"What was that?"
she asked, sounding breathless. I looked over at her. My hand was on her shoulder. "You all right?"
"I'm fine. It looked like a dog."
"Coyote. Must have been." We sat there a moment, catching our breath. What the fuck was I doing out here anyway? What if we'd gotten into an accident and I had to explain why I had a 16-year-old girl and 2 pints in a truck that didn't belong to me?
"That was a rush," she said.
"A rush? No. No, it wasn't." I went to pull away, but she stopped me, spreading her fingers over the top of my hand. Hers was shades wider than mine and probably half the size.
"Do we have to go back?"
she asked. The more I tried to ignore her soft palm on my skin, the harder it got. I needed to take my hand off. It wasn't as if she could hold me there against my will. "We've been gone long enough," I said.
"But I don't want to."
"I know you don't. That's why we went for a drive. But this, you're not supposed to be out here, and it isn't even about camp. Just in general, you shouldn't be here now." I only heard her breathing. She took her hand off, and so did I.
"Nobody even knows I'm gone."
She unclicked her seatbelt.
"Come on, I see water."
"Lake, no." With what must have been a sudden burst of strength, she shouldered her door open and hopped out of the truck. Come on, get back in.
I just want to see, maybe put my toes in.
Fuck. Barefoot, she headed into the dark. I fumbled with my seatbelt, barely remembering to shut off the engine before jumping out. Lake? The trees were thick around the highway, and my voice echoed into the woods. I couldn't see shit. I strode down a soft dirt hill which opened up to a sprawling body of black water. The moon was just a sliver rippling over the lake. When I saw her near the shore, I exhaled a breath I'd been holding. She stripped off her shorts. My gut smarted. A warning. No way she'd get in there. You couldn't see your own foot in that lake. With her back to me in white panties and a t-shirt, she waded in like a water nymph, glowing against a black backdrop. Come on, Lake. My heart pounded. I'd warned her about the water. I'm not messing around. You don't know what's in there.
Fish?
She smiled at me over her shoulder. My gaze, the water, her hair, it all moved with her as she glided deeper. When the waterline touched her hips, she pulled one arm through a sleeve and then the other. I stood paralyzed as she took off her top. It was clumsy, drawn out, long enough for me to tell her to stop. She threw it a few yards from my feet. I went and picked it up, a scrap of fabric that had been a necessary barrier between us. She had this white, strappy bra thing on, and thankfully enough long blonde hair to hide her breasts, not that there was much to cover. I couldn't look away. I couldn't move. I ran a hand through my hair, trying to decide what to do. I had a lot of self-control, but I didn't want to test it by taking off my pants. It wouldn't look good to show up back at camp in wet jeans, either. Lake kept going. Her hair started to disappear under the surface, pieces of it plastering to her back. The memory scraped across my brain like nails on a chalkboard. Maddie, limp, soaked, sheet white, her wet hair sticking to my forearms and knees as I pulled her from the water into my lap. I tried to call Lake back. The words came out strangled. I took off my shoes and socks. Tossing her shirt with her shorts, I walked right in. The cold water bit, but she couldn't get any farther from my reach. She skimmed her forearms back and forth over the surface as she blinked up at the sky, a small smile on her lips.
Show it to me again, summer triangle.
No, I clipped. When either of us moved, the water echoed in the otherwise dead quiet. I know what you're doing. I don't... You think I want to go back? I asked. I don't, but we have to. She turned on me, her euphoric expression replaced with frustration.
Why can't you just stop being an adult for a minute?
Because I am the adult. One of us has to be. She closed her mouth, her jaw tight, and dove headfirst into the water. The lake swallowed her without even a burp. She disappeared completely. I took a step, then another. I couldn't see her. Couldn't see anything but a ripple here and then there, near and then far. I turned in circles, heat rising up my chest while my legs froze, my breath getting short. Lake? I raised my voice. Stop it! I tried to push Maddie out of my mind. This wasn't the same. Lake was just having fun. But Maddie'd been so alive when I'd last seen her, and just minutes later, completely lifeless. The image had haunted me so long, was always waiting in the back of my mind, even during the best of times. I'd had to put my mouth on my sister's and feel nothing, breathe into nothing. Seconds ticked by. My lungs wouldn't expand. I would have gone in after her if I'd had any clue where she was. She'd been under at least 10 seconds and could have swum anywhere. Lake! I yelled, angry. I thrust my hands under, grasping for anything. Something slippery brushed against my leg. God damn it, Lake! She popped up 5 feet from me, giggling, the slight moon turning her into a glittering fluorescent mermaid. What's gotten into you? I asked. Rage vibrated every bone in my body. Do you have any idea how dangerous it is out here? She floated on her back, unapologetic, teeth chattering.
I know you wouldn't let anything happen to me.
It shook my confidence hearing that. She thought I could save her. The truth was, if I wanted to or not, I couldn't protect her from everything, especially not this. But to explain why, I'd have to bring her into a memory I never shared if I could help it. I'd already had to recount it enough times to the police and jury to break any man. She spread her arms. Her tits poked through the surface, 2 white, wet, cotton peaks pointing to the stars. My hands shook, my body, too. Seeing how calm and open she was, my instinct was to go to her to say fuck it for one night. Lake wasn't as confident as she pretended to be. Her inexperience showed in her every move. One touch and she'd dissolve into a trembling mess. Wouldn't it be best if that first touch came from someone who cared, who'd worship her? I knew what I was doing, when to be gentle and when to not, and I would do it at her pace. I'd been trying not to see her since I'd returned her bracelet. As a child, I'd been warned by my mom against looking directly at an eclipse. I feared the same was true for Lake. How did I come off to others when I looked at her? As captivated as I felt, adoring, enamored, I didn't want to be looking at her that way. Someone could notice. People became suddenly more perceptive about these things. A grown man intently watching a young girl, especially one like Lake who was on the verge of beautiful. But tonight nobody was around. Fuck. I turned around, shielding my eyes, even though it was too late for that. I couldn't look. It was killing me. Hard as it was, I walked out of the water.
You're just going to leave me here?
She asked. Never. But I had to. I put one foot in front of the other, fought every urge to turn back, just to make sure she didn't sink under. She'd given me no choice. I was going to make an even bigger mistake than I already had just by letting myself get into this situation. I passed her rumpled clothing, got as far as the trees, but unable to breathe without keeping my eyes on her, I turned and looked back. I tensed when I couldn't find her, but a few seconds later my eyes adjusted. On shore, she put her clothes back on. Once I was certain she wouldn't be getting back in the lake, I went to the truck, found some greasy towels behind the seats, and wiped myself down. I sat and watched through the windshield. I couldn't even bring myself to turn on the heater or music. After a few minutes, she trudged back up to the passenger's side door.
"What do you want me to do?"
she asked when I looked over, her window still partly down.
"I'm wet."
Her nipples were hard, so I averted my eyes and passed her a towel. It was dirty, but better than being soaked. Once she'd dried herself a little, she climbed into the cab. I put the key in the ignition, but the engine only turned over.
Great.
I pounded my fist against the steering wheel.
That's just fucking great.
The whole bench shook with her shivering.
I'm sorry,
she said. Even though she faced me, her shoulder and half her back were pressed up against the door, as far away from me as she could get. She looked so small and breakable, tucked into the corner, the opposite of how she'd acted just a few minutes ago. In her lap, she wrung her hands around something. She breathed audibly, maybe trying not to cry. In, out, in, out. The t-shirt clung to her breasts, outlining them, the only two wet spots. How could I stay pissed? All she wanted was more time. I wanted the same. I'm not mad, I said. I worry. I worry so goddamn much, Lake.
Why? I don't understand.
Her voice was tiny, frightened.
I've been swimming in the ocean since I could walk.
I gripped the steering wheel, even though we weren't going anywhere. The difference between Lake and every other person I'd come across the past 8 years was that it felt as if her goodness could actually be enough to heal my ugliness, to fill the hole in me. I wanted to tell her. Knowing what I'd been through meant knowing me better than anyone since Maddie. I turned the key to see if at least the heater would come on. It did, along with the radio. I lowered the volume and sat back in my seat. My sister drowned while I was 30 feet away. The words were foreign. Saying it out loud was as hard as I thought it'd be. It changed the air around us. The molecules rearranged. The truth sat between us like a third person. In a way, it was. Madison was never far from my mind. I still carried her around, one long piggyback ride until the day I'd die. I couldn't save her. Lake didn't move an inch. She sat still so long, I looked over to make sure she was still conscious.
I'm so sorry,
she whispered.
I didn't realize.
By the look on her face, I'd scared the shit out of her. I couldn't just leave it at that. We had a pool, but that wasn't what killed her. It just sped up the process. She pulled her knees up to her chest, wrapping her arms around them.
What do you mean?
I told you my parents used to fight. It was a war every time. They'd married young, for love.
Isn't that a good thing?
Nah. Not when you're fundamentally different. My mom's family was middle class, my dad came from the wrong side of the tracks. They didn't grow up the same or want the same things. That might be okay if you're not as passionate as you are different, Long story short, they fought as hard as they made up. I wasn't sure Lei could understand what I was getting at, so I glossed over that. Once in a while, something in my dad would flip and he'd go too far. He'd hit her, apologize in tears at her feet, and that'd be it. He beat me up a few times. Stupid shit, like finding my dishes out after a particularly bad day at work. He hurt Madison only once as a kid. When I hit puberty and got bigger than him, never happened to either of us again, just my mom when I wasn't around. Lake seemed farther away, her back glued against the door. Even in the dark, I could see her ashen face. Fine. She needed to hear this. And maybe it was best if it scared her off me. She'd grown up as sheltered as anyone I'd ever seen. Whatever schoolgirl crush she had on me, maybe this would cure it.
He went after your sister and you wouldn't let him.
I must have misheard her.
What? Is that what happened?
My chest constricted. There was no way she could have known that, which meant she'd figured it out on her own. Maybe she saw more than I gave her credit for. Yeah, pretty much. Maddie was trying to get in the middle of one of their fights. I came in the door from baseball practice right as he smacked her into a wall. The memory of the blank expression on my dad's face still made me sick to my stomach. I could count on one hand the number of times I'd seen that. The way his eyes turned to glass while he went someplace none of us could name. I knocked him on his ass. I didn't know what Dad would do, so I told Maddie to run, but she wouldn't. She didn't want to leave me. So I told her to get the fuck out or I'd kick her ass myself. I just wanted her gone. She looked terrified, which was how I felt, but it worked. She ran out the back.
You did the right thing, she said.
Not really. I wasn't sure what the right thing would have been, but it wasn't that. Mads had this friend next door, Beth. They had a secret, not-so-secret hole in the fence they'd used to get to each other's houses. That's where she was going. She'd run so fast out the back, because of me. If I'd known it was the last time I'd see her, I wouldn't have threatened her that way. She'd surely been as afraid of me as she was of him in that moment. My dad and I fought, took down everything in the kitchen, the table, dishes, pots, and pans. There'd been so much shit all over the kitchen, noodles on the linoleum floor from an overturned pot. I couldn't remember getting scalded, but I'd had a burn from the water for a while after. Broken dining chairs, blood on my knuckles, everything falling away in a second. I swear, I would have taken my baseball bat to him if I hadn't heard the screaming.
Maddie?
She whispered. Hearing Maddie's name out loud, reliving the moments leading up to it, I needed to take a breath. I looked out my open window. My mom. She found my sister floating face down in the pool. After the autopsy and all that, we figured she'd slipped while running, fallen in, hit her head on the way down. She was unconscious long enough while we were all in the house. I didn't dream, but once in a while I had nightmares. Getting Maddie out of a pool red with her blood, the shock of pulling a cold body out of warm water. Trying to give life to a stiff mouth. Breathing so hard into her that I nearly passed out. When the cops showed, I was still trying to give Maddie CPR while Mom sobbed on the ground next to me. But my dad had cleaned himself up and calmed down. His anger was like that, quick to explode, quick to flame out. He knew they'd see the bruises on Maddie and my mom and the mess in the kitchen. He hadn't landed a punch on me, but he was bleeding from a busted nose. I was the only one unscathed. When the officers asked what had happened, he'd explain that I'd snapped. Beat Maddie up and them too.
No.
Lake covered her mouth.
He blamed you?
It was fucked up, but my dad had always been a dick. Aside from the death, it wasn't the part I still wasn't over. My mom couldn't speak to save her life. She was a wreck. But when the officers asked if it was true, she wouldn't say I didn't do it.
She let you take the rap?
She was afraid if she said no, they'd take my dad away. Lake readjusted her hold on her knees.
Did they arrest you?
I sat forward and ran my hands over my face. Every time I thought about it, it renewed a sliver of my faith in humanity. They took us both to the station. I told the cops what had really happened, and they saw right through the bullshit, figured out my mom and dad would rather send me to juvie than have Dad get in real trouble. Beth's parents vouched for me, too, said they'd heard our parents arguing a lot and that I'd been good with the girls. I shook my head. I wasn't, though. Good. I should have had him locked up the first time it happened.
But she must have been a kid. How long had it been going on?
All of their marriage. But it didn't happen that often. Something inside him that was just off. And I had to wonder, how did I know I didn't have the same thing? I got angry like any man. I tried never to put myself in a situation where I might test the switch, though.
What happened to him?
My dad. Prison. Hard as it was, I had to go up on the stand and convince them that he'd hurt us before, even though we'd never filed a report. My mom wouldn't do it. She tried to get me not to. Didn't see what good it did if Maddie was gone anyway. I didn't see it that way, though. I wanted the max sentence. Lake fidgeted with the bracelets on her wrist, kept twisting whatever was in her hand.
All this happened when you were 15?
You see why I get so worried? It's not just because of Maddie. I saw and did a lot of things a kid shouldn't. It changes you. Can't ever go back.
I get it,
she said softly.
Of course I do. I just can't believe... What about your mom?
Still in Pasadena, I guess.
You don't know?
I went to live with Dad's sister. My mom was my mom. I loved her. I tried to protect her, but she picked a monster over me. I finally let go of the steering wheel, flexing my aching hand. I couldn't go back after that. I realized once I moved out, I resented her anyway for staying with him all that time.
I wouldn't go back either,
Lake said. It was her way of showing support, but just thinking of Lake in a situation like that got under my skin. My aunt was all right. She didn't forgive my dad like Mom did, but she kind of checked out. She was torn up about Madison and felt bad she hadn't done anything sooner, knowing my dad's temper. So we left each other alone. I couldn't give her anything. I had nothing.
Do you still feel that way?
Do you? I asked.
No. You have something to give. I know it.
I nodded. I'm going to help others. That's how I'm going to give.
Because they believed you,
she said, piecing it together.
That's why it means so much to you to become an officer.
One of the cops who'd been there that night, he stopped by my aunt's to check in on me from time to time, made sure I stayed on track and graduated high school. I never met anyone like him before that or since. Henry's a good man. That's why I want to be a cop, help people like he does. It wasn't exactly a happy ending, but it was something. It was all I had. Everything else was mistakes and broken relationships and loss.
I never would have...
Lake's voice trembled.
If I'd known, I wouldn't have run off like that.
Without thinking, I put my hand on her knee, covering it and then some. She was far away, but I could still reach her. I know. It just reminded me of everything, you disappearing like that. Her cheeks were wet. Please don't. Don't cry.
But I love this. Oh, you.
I squeezed her leg. I understood Lake in her broken words. She didn't mean it like she was in love with me. She was trying to say she couldn't help her tears, couldn't stop her heart from breaking for Madison. I loved her for it too, for a tenderness so altruistic and pure, it overflowed outside her control. She released her legs and extended the one I was holding. I slid my hand down to her ankle, slower than I meant to, appreciating the smoothness of her calf. I wanted to say, come here, and wipe her tears, hold her until she understood she was still safe, and I wasn't mad. My hand encompassed her ankle. I realized the thing clamped in her hand was her bra. She was still the young girl I wanted to protect. No toenail polish, no makeup, wet hair, wanting what she wanted, no price too high. But there was more to her tonight. There always had been. The look she gave me. As if she could sense me responding to her small tits and pink mouth, those gaping shorts. She was breathing hard again, but not out of fear. Her tears had dried. She dug her foot between the seats where I'd shoved the cigarettes and nudged the pack out.
You look like you need one.
I wondered if my face was as gray as hers had been a minute ago. She seemed warm now, loving, but now my hand shook, even the one holding her ankle. She sat forward without moving her legs and turned up the stereo. I recognized the beginning chords of a song before the DJ even introduced it. Slow things down with a little Sophie B. Hawkins, he was saying. This request goes out from Naomi C. to John M., and I don't think I have to tell you what Naomi's trying to say. It's right there in the title. Lake scooted closer, bending her leg between us. She picked up the pack and took out a cigarette, studying it.
When she went to put it in her mouth, I caught her wrist. I just want to see what it's like. I let go of her. It wasn't as if she had anything to light it with. She put it between her lips, rolling them around the butt, then took it out and pretended to blow smoke. Did I do it right? She held it in the V of her index and middle fingers like her sister. Of course. She probably didn't know anyone who smoked besides us. She held it up to my mouth, and I was suddenly aware of my breath against her fingers. I took the butt between my lips. It tasted sweet. Sometime between the lake and the car, she'd made herself taste like watermelon candy. I wanted it. The smoke, the girl, my vices. But here she was, trying to be something she thought I wanted. Something I was trying to protect her from. I took the cigarette, snapped it, tossed it out the window. I told you, I'm quitting. Before I even had the words out, she leaned in, stopping inches from my face. Her sugary breath became mine. It was so easy to forget everything else with her around. Being close to her didn't feel wrong. I could just sink into it, didn't have to be cautious like I did with other people, as if I knew on some level she'd protect me. She'd care for me. As a side effect of trying to restrain myself, I squeezed her ankle hard enough to make her gasp. She went for the corner of my mouth, pressing her lips to my skin, soft and slow. I feel very protective of you, Lake, I murmured.
I know.
I don't want to change you.
You already have. I want this. I can decide for myself.
It's not that simple. She smoothed her cheek against mine. To me, it was like nuzzling a peach, but because I hadn't shaven, it must have been rough for her.
I've never even kissed someone, she said close to my ear. Never wanted to before.
It was more than I could handle. It made me happy she'd never been kissed, never wanted it with anyone else. She was maybe too young for that, but I also wanted to be her first. I put my other hand on her shoulder, meaning to pull her off. She ducked her head, planting supplicant little pecks behind my ear that might as well have been her saying, "Please, Manning, please, please." My head dropped back against the headrest.
Damn it, Lake.
With one leg still folded between us, she hooked the other over my knee and moved my hand to her thigh. She hummed along to the song, "Damn, I wish I was your lover." My heart pounded. I had to stop this, but she was heavenly. So soft, her lips and downy thigh so inviting, her leg warming mine. Even her damp hair felt good in my palm. That's when I realized my fingers had tangled themselves in her hair, spanning the back of her scalp, holding her in place. While I was distracted trying to control my body parts, her kisses traveled up around my mouth. Her hand guided mine up her leg. All at once I went from pleasantly warm to burning up, my neck, my face, my lap. The base of my cock constricted. She was bold but tentative, bringing us to the edge, but not brave enough to take the leap. Her balmy kisses made blood rush to my crotch, flooded out my guilt. She took her hand off mine, but I didn't pull away. I slid it up into the hole of her jean shorts. She reciprocated with a hand on my zipper, right over my dick. Her panties were wet from the lake, from the water. That fucking dangerous black water. I was no better than it, drowning her, taking what wasn't mine, turning beautiful things ugly.
Lake, please.
Her breath fell on my lips.
One kiss, then we can stop.
I wouldn't be able to stop. No fucking way. My hand got caught in her hair and I yanked it by accident. She jerked back just long enough for me to take her shoulders and hold her at a distance. We can't. Her eyes shimmered with unshed tears.
Nobody has to know, she begged.
Headlights flickered in my side mirror. I immediately spotted the reflective red and blue top of a cop car, even though the lights weren't flashing.
Fuck,
I said, switching the song like it was porn I didn't want to get caught with. Lake looked out the back window.
The police?
Yeah. He had no reason to pull over, but he might. We looked damn suspicious, sitting on the side of the road in the dark.
Can we get in trouble?
She asked.
I can.
She vaulted herself over the back of the bench, her long limbs nearly knocking me in the face. There was no back seat, just a narrow space behind the front one where I'd found the towels.
What are you doing?
I asked.
Hiding?
She looked up at me, eyes wide with fear. She was still just a kid. I had about 10 seconds to make a decision. I respected law enforcement, but I wasn't naive. I knew not all cops were good. But what kind of trouble could I get in just for sitting in the car with her? Would he believe we hadn't been doing anything? I think you should come back up here, I said. The cop flashed his lights once, a shock of red and blue. He
He wasn't going to pass.
I can't. Her voice broke. I don't want you to get in trouble. He'll tell Gary, maybe even my dad.
If the cop wanted to see her ID and she didn't have one, he wouldn't just let that go. She didn't look 18, not yet. I was with a minor who'd taken off her bra. We were both wet from swimming. I really doubted he'd just let us go, which meant taking us back to camp, telling Gary. Gary and I were cool, but he'd never let me get away with this. These kids meant everything to him. He'd tell Charles Kaplan. Lake's dad would obliterate me, no doubt, but what about her? He was her world. If he thought she'd snuck off with me in the middle of the night, how would that change their relationship? You're right, he might escort us back, probably will, I said, checking the rearview mirror. The officer had parked behind us. But we'll get in worse trouble if he finds you.
He won't. I can be quiet.
The black and white driver's side door opened. We were out of time. I'll handle it, I promised her. What else could I do? Just stay still. Don't make a sound. I wiped my upper lip on my sleeve. I'll handle it. He took his sweet time walking up to the window, checking my plates, looking over the truck. I turned off the heater and stereo. Crickets chirped. I'd been pulled over before. The window was already down, so I put my hands on the wheel where he could see them. My palms sweat around the leather. Thank fuck we'd been interrupted. Not that I would have taken it any further. Would I have? Boots shuffled in the dirt. A uniformed man, not much older than me, appeared at the window. He aimed his flashlight into the truck, barely skimming the back.
Evening, he said. Car trouble?
Yes, sir, it won't start.
Why'd you turn it off in the first place?
He looked around.
Not going to find much help in the middle of nowhere.
I almost hit a coyote, pulled off, and the car just died on me.
I see.
He squinted at me. Or past me. I couldn't tell. If he were to lean in, really get inside the window, I doubted he'd miss Lake's blonde hair.
License and registration.
I considered arguing. He had no reason to suspect me of anything. It might have made things worse, though, and he was just doing his job. I pulled out my wallet and gave him my ID before leaning over to the glove compartment. I'm sorry, officer, it's a friend's truck. Fortunately, the paperwork was right where I needed it to be. He was drinking, so I offered to do a beer run. He read my license.
What about you, Mr. Sutter? Been drinking?
No, sir, that's why they sent me to get alcohol. I'm just on my way back.
Oh, yeah? Where are you headed?
Next exit. Young Cubs camp.
You a counselor?
Yes, sir.
Pretty sure you guys aren't supposed to be drinking, but I would be if I were in your shoes, all those damn kids.
He nodded at me.
Where's the alcohol, then?
Fuck, it was in the back seat. I blanched a deer in cop lights. I had to come up with something. If I didn't, he'd have reason to doubt me, and who knows where I'd end up. Probably at the station, a deer in the spotlight of an interrogation room. I stuck an arm over the back of the seat. My hand brushed against something soft. Lake. She pressed a bottle into my hand, and I handed it to him. He stuck his notepad under his arm and tried the top.
It's sealed, so there's no problem.
Great, I said, trying not to sound too relieved as he gave it back. The tension in my chest eased as the officer backed away from the window.
Step out of the vehicle, Mr. Sutter.
At first I thought he was dismissing me. I almost answered him with thanks. When his words registered, though, I was suddenly frozen to the spot.
Sorry?
I asked.
Out of the vehicle?
My hand felt heavy as I put it on the handle and pulled. The door stuck, so I had to ram my shoulder into it. The officer moved back as it popped open. I wanted to ask why. I'd just had a little car trouble. There was no reason to make this into a thing. But I didn't. I was guilty. Not of what he thought, but I'd done a bad thing tonight. If I argued, he might get suspicious and look for more than what he had, which was nothing.
What's this about?
I asked, stepping into the dirt. I sounded guilty even in my own ears. The officer pointed to a spot in front of me.
Go ahead and walk in a straight line for me.
Chapter 21. Lake. Don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. If I let out even a peep, the officer would find me in the back of the truck. Take us back to camp, tell Gary and my dad, maybe even arrest Manning, and it'd all be my fault. I'd made Manning bring me along, go for a ride, get in the water. My heartbeat filled my ears. I didn't know what was happening. couldn't see anything, contorted in the small, dark space. The last I'd heard, Manning had asked why the cop wanted him out of the car. Maybe everyone was right, and I was just a kid who didn't consider consequences. I always did the right thing, but tonight? Tonight I'd sat on the edge of my bed, playing our night at the pool in my head. The good parts, like Manning opening up about his sister, and then telling me the story of Alter and Vega. And then what I should have done differently when I'd stupidly tried to kiss him. I hadn't touched him, hadn't gotten physical enough. Tiffany did that, and I needed to also. Tonight had been my last chance with Manning. My last chance to touch him, to make him see me as something more than a girl. To make him forget Tiffany. And now we were here, about to get busted because of me. Minutes passed like hours. I strained to hear beyond the murmur of voices. I sat bent and twisted so long my legs tingled. I recognized the bass of Manning's voice, the only thing that made my heart calm just a little. He wouldn't let the man find me. He wouldn't leave me here. Finally, they got close enough to the window that I could hear.
"Only if it won't inconvenience you," Manning said, opening the door. "It's no trouble," the officer said. "If it doesn't work, I've got a pal I can wake up to take a look. Or I'll drive you back up to camp, if you like, and you can handle it in the morning."
Unbidden tears filled my eyes. He wouldn't leave me. But what if he had to? What would I do, sleep here in the truck in wet clothes? Already I was doing everything in my power not to shiver.
"Let me just..."
Manning leaned into the truck, and there was a loud, clunky pop out front.
"There we go."
He glanced at me over the divider. I nodded to let him know I was okay, even though I was holding my sobs at bay. He left for a few more minutes, came back, and turned the key in the ignition. The truck tried to start, and after a second, shuddered and came to life. I'd never been so relieved in my life. My limbs went limp.
"Thank fuck," Manning said under his breath. "Well, look at that," the officer said. "Your lucky night."
"Yes, sir."
They were both silent a few seconds. I could only see Manning's head turned away from me. I wanted to scream just to break the tension or look over the edge to see what was happening. Finally, Manning pulled the door shut.
"Thanks for your help," he said through the window. "Hey, good luck with training. You get sick of the beach, consider Big Bear. We could always use good guys."
"Will do. Thanks again, sir."
Manning stared into the rearview mirror. I was too afraid to speak, much less move. After a minute, he waved out the window and began to drive. We were a couple minutes up the road before either of us spoke. With his one hand on the top of the wheel, he turned onto the unpaved road. I knew, because I could barely sit still, the way it bumped and wobbled over potholes and rocks.
"You all right?"
he asked without looking back.
"Yes,"
my voice sounded foreign. "Is everything okay?" He squinted out the windshield. I knew it wasn't okay. Not really. I'd gone too far. Manning had been good to me the last 5 weeks. Protected me. Taught me. Confided in me. And I'd repaid him by almost getting him arrested. "I'm sorry," I said. I expected him to scold me, but instead he just said,
"Me too."
"You have nothing to be sorry for."
"I'm just glad we're okay."
He stopped the truck, turned out the headlights, and looked back at me.
"Nobody can know about tonight. Ever."
"I know that. I've told you a million times I'm not a little girl. And we didn't even do anything, even though it was our last chance. I can't say goodbye to you tomorrow. I won't."
He pinched the bridge of his nose and inhaled. "Listen to me, Lake. You have your whole life ahead of you. You're going to one of the top schools in the country. You've worked hard to get where you are.
But..."
"And so have your parents and sister."
I closed my mouth.
"Think of all they've done for you. They want nothing more than to see you succeed, and I feel the same."
"I want that too, Manning. I can do all that. I can do none of it. It wouldn't matter. I'd still..."
"You're a smart girl, and I need you to understand."
I did, to a point. Having sex with Manning could change things for both of us. If my dad found out, if he even knew I'd snuck off with Manning tonight, he'd never look at me the same. He'd see me like Tiffany. If Tiffany found out, she'd be embarrassed. and the reality was, Manning could have gotten into trouble tonight because of what I'd done. I was a minor. He wasn't. He'd be punished as an adult. He didn't have family on his side. In fact, maybe Tiffany and I were all he had right now. He would have lost that, and his job, too. "I understand," I said. "I understand why we can't be together right now, but I can wait." I hadn't planned to say that or anything like it, but I'd been holding everything in too long. I'd watched Manning go off with my sister more than once. I'd fought to keep my hand from wandering over to his while he'd told me this was our story. I'd almost had him tonight, and I'd blown it. "Wait for me, too," I said.
"Don't ask that of me."
"No matter what happens, where you go, where I go, it won't change the fact I'll be 18 in 2 years.
"But you'll change in 2 years, Leg. So will I."
"My feelings won't."
"Get out of the car, Leg. I can't park until you do, and we've been sitting here too long."
Manning leaned over and opened the passenger door.
"Go straight to your cabin."
It was the last thing I wanted to hear, but he was right. I stood as best I could. My legs had fallen asleep. As I got myself over the seat, I became uncomfortably aware that I was wet, sticky, and tired. He waited as I crawled out of the car, grabbed my flip-flops, and eased the door shut. "Good night." He kept his eyes forward. The window was still down, so as I walked away, I only just heard him respond,
"Night, Lake."
With my bra stuffed in my back pocket, I carried my shoes so I wouldn't make any noise. I passed Tiffany's cabin on the way to mine. For a moment, I was tempted to climb into her sleeping bag instead and hold on to her. I'd never felt so grown up and so childish. Tiffany would have understood, would have told me what to do, if only it hadn't been her boyfriend I'd been sneaking around with. It had all happened so fast, like a dream. We probably hadn't been gone more than 2 hours. I touched my cheek, where I could still feel the scrape of his stubble. My heart skipped as I remembered stripping off my clothes by the lake, knowing he was watching. And his enormous hands, in my hair, in my shorts. They could take over whole parts of me, the entire back of my head, half my thigh. By the time I reached my cabin, my heart was pounding, but no longer out of fear. Quietly, I set my sandals down and dug into my duffel bag for my pajamas. I changed limb by limb without making any noise. When I opened my sleeping bag, the zipper hissed. "Lake?" Hannah asked. "That you?" "I just went to the bathroom," I whispered. "Don't wake the girls." She inhaled and turned over, toward the wall. Me, I stared at the top bunk for at least another hour, playing the night over and over in my head. Manning's restrained but curious fingers, inching closer up my shorts. His mouth so close I could almost convince myself we'd kissed. I already felt myself changing. Inside the sleeping bag, I touched my outer thigh, my stomach, my breasts. I was more aware of my body than I'd ever been. Flannel was smooth over the top of my hand. The polyester sleeping bag crinkled. My heart beat steadily in my chest, but if I held still, I felt my pulse all over. Was it wrong, what we hadn't even done? Manning would have said so, even if he didn't think it. He couldn't tell me we'd be together one day, but he had to know the truth. You can't move the stars. Manning and I were inevitable. Chapter 22. Lake. I woke up before anyone else, even Hannah, and sat up in bed. My hair had dried but was tangled from my midnight swim, and from Manning's hands. The memory, only 6 hours fresh, made my stomach tighten. So this was what all the fuss was about. This was why Tiffany was always flirting with boys. Mouths, hands, hardness and softness, adrenaline. We'd almost gotten caught. We'd almost gone too far. Getting wrapped up in Manning, belonging to him, I didn't see how it could ever be far enough. Early morning light made shadows around the cabin, on the sleeping girls. It was our last morning, and I never wanted it to end. But still, I smiled. "Hey," Hannah whispered, her eyes puffy as she grinned back at me. "Did you go somewhere last night?" "No," I said immediately. "Why?" I woke up and you weren't here. At least, I thought you weren't, she laughed. Maybe I was seeing things, or not seeing things. I was here. I went to the bathroom, but that's it. She sighed. It's so peaceful right now. Do we have to wake them? Only if we want to send them home with what they brought. Gary wants us to start packing before breakfast. Some of the girls stirred. Then again, it's our last day. What's he going to do, send us home? I threw open my sleeping bag. Hannah sat up, piling her mass of hair on top of her head, watching me move around the cabin. I put on the soundtrack to The Bodyguard and belted out, "I'm Every Woman." Some of the girls giggled. They woke up confused but smiling, the way Hannah and I had. Hannah got up, too. In just drawstring pants and T-shirts, we ran outside and started shaking our hips. "Are you guys seriously going to make us dance alone?" I called. Girls crawled from their beds and hurried outside like ants from a hill. Someone turned up the music. Another cabin yelled at us to be quiet, but we went on dancing. It was a beautiful morning, and I was filled up by the memory of last night, brimming with the possibilities of what was to come. For the first time since Manning and I had met, my feelings felt validated. Maybe Manning couldn't say how he felt, but it had been there in his eyes, his touch. Once we'd worn the girls out, Hannah and I walked them to Reflection. We hit the path to the clearing at the same time as Cabin 9. Manning's hair stuck up in every direction. He had dark circles under his eyes, like I probably did. We fell into step beside each other and slowed, lagging behind. "Your hair's a mess," he told me. "I haven't washed it yet." "Aren't you afraid something's growing in there?" I giggled softly. "I wouldn't mind if it was. A souvenir." Manning gave me a look I recognized. He was going to scold me. I mimed zipping my lips shut, and he seemed satisfied. "Oh, before I forget," I dug into my pocket. "I made you something in arts and crafts." "Me?" he asked. I showed him a brown, orange, and forest green wax bracelet I'd woven earlier in the week. He plucked it out of my palm, twisting it between his fingers.
"What is it?"
"A friendship bracelet. But I gave it some thought this morning, and I don't think it should be that for us." Manning raised his eyes to mine slowly, looking at me from under his dark, long lashes.
"Like,
every time you crave a cigarette, look at the bracelet."
"And?"
"And think of me. You seem to be really good at not smoking in front of me, so just pretend I'm there. You still want to quit, right?" Manning inspected the bracelet, swallowing.
"Nobody ever gives me anything," he said. "Especially not jewelry."
I tried to pick manly colors. They made me think of you. I smiled. "But you don't have to wear it. Just keep it in your pocket or something." He scratched his jaw.
"And when I feel like a smoke, I just pull it out and look at it?"
I nodded. "And think of me." He seemed to consider it.
"It looks small."
I stopped walking and took the bracelet. The clasp was adjustable, so I pulled it as wide as it would go. Manning held out his hand, and I put it on him. As I did, he looked at the bracelet stacked all the way up my wrist.
"You have lots of friends."
"But I only made one bracelet."
"Where's the gold one?" he asked.
"I left it at home." It was funny how these little wax ones could feel as valuable as the expensive one from my dad. Didn't want it to fall off. Our eyes met. We were close. Unlike that first day, when I'd been hesitant to approach the gruff man who'd held my delicate chain coiled in his hand. I could have lingered there all morning, grazing my fingers over his strong, tan forearm. He didn't exactly make a move to leave, either, but another cabin came into view behind us, Tiffany and her girls. Not only were they on time, but also in a straight line. I tightened the bracelet on him and took my hand back. Manning shook his head.
"After last night, I promised myself I'd never be alone with you again. Yet here we are, not even 7 hours later."
"We're not alone," I pointed out. "Everyone's here."
"I've got something I want you to have, too," he told me, looking over at Tiffany. "But I'll give it to you later."
I smiled. The fact that I had no idea what it could even be made me extra giddy. "Later, then." We all found our places in the bleachers, and Gary waited at the front.
Since it was the last morning, it took a little longer for the kids to settle down.
"Good morning," Gary greeted the group. "You should know the drill by now, campers. Close your eyes. Breathe the morning in. Appreciate your existence. Let's all say thank you for such a beautiful